Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Roger Lowenstein is with us now, author of the book The End of Wall Street, on his cover story in The Atlantic about Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. And the thesis is simple. If Ben Bernanke saved the economy from ruin, why does everybody hate him? Hi, Roger. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, always a pleasure to be on your show.
So you write that the left hates Bernanke and the right hates him even more. Do they hate him for different reasons?
Yeah, very much so. The left hates him for not doing enough to raise inflation and do even more than he's done to resuscitate the economy. Paul Krugman of the Times has called him on his blog a profile in cowardice, or called Bernanke's Federal Reserve. And the right hates him because it fears that he's already doing what the left says he's not doing enough of, which is stimulating the next round of inflation, depreciating the dollar. And I think also the right hates him out of a sort of a visceral feeling that we've just had too much government in this period of bailouts. We should go back to some halcyon era in our history, which may or may not have existed, when we were very happy living under a gold standard and didn't have all these paper money bills rolling around.
And just to remind people of some of the context, some of the language, let's give Rick Perry his 16th minute of fame, now that he's no longer a presidential candidate, famously railing at Bernanke in one of the debates.
I don't know what y'all would do to him in Iowa, but we would treat him pretty ugly down in Texas. I mean, printing more money to play politics at this particular time in American history is almost treasonous, in my opinion.
And correction, that was at a campaign stop in Iowa, not in one of the debates, but you get the idea. Bernanke's policies are seen as liberal by a lot of conservatives because they involve government stimulus through monetary policy. But he's a Republican, which you mentioned in the article. How do you square those two things?
Well, I think the bailouts and financial crisis sort of tipped the normal lines in their head. Remember that in the very heat of the financial crisis, September of 08, it was George Bush, a Republican, and Hank Paulson, his Republican Treasury Secretary, who went to get the TARP, the bank bailout bill passed. And it was their very same party, the Republicans in the House, who got it rejected. And then they had to come back again. The market fell 700 points, and the House GOP reconsidered. And John McCain wouldn't support it when he was candidate, whereas candidate Obama did. I think there's some phenomenon of the two ends meeting, the two extremes. We have certainly leftists who don't like bank bailouts and the government resuscitating the bank, and also on the extreme right, the Tea Party crowd is very much opposed to anything of that sort. And in today's political spectrum, the Tea Party, the extreme right, is certainly much more visible force
right.
than the extreme left. So
we're
hearing more from the Rick Perrys and the Sarah Palins about Ben Bernanke.
Nobody likes bank bailouts because the right doesn't like bailouts and the left doesn't like banks.
Exactly. But you nailed it. By the way, Ben Bernanke doesn't like bank bailouts. I mean, Hank Paulson, these are Republicans. They did not come into office with a dream of socializing the banking industry. And they, let's not forget that in their first go-around, when Lehman failed, they said, let's let it fail. Let's do the good American thing. Well, let them take their licks. And nobody was very happy with that because, the financial system immediately cratered, seemingly over the abyss.
Right. And Bernanke and Geithner and the others were concerned that it would be not just a failure of Wall Street, but a failure that would affect Main Street too much, and that's why they came up with the TARP. But listeners, do you have an opinion about Ben Bernanke? While you're going through the day, I don't know that Ben Bernanke is the first thing that most of you think about or the first person, but a lot of people hate Ben Bernanke. Are you one of them? 212-433-WNYC, or are you kind of where Roger Lowenstein from The Atlantic seems to be on this, which is, hey, if Ben Bernanke saved the economy, why does everybody else hate him? 212-433-WNYC. Anything you always wanted to say or ask about Ben Bernanke, 212-433-9692. Now, to your premise, Roger, did Bernanke save the economy?
Yes, I think he did. I think he brought it back. I mean, as much as any one man can influence the U.S. economy, which is a $15 trillion operation, we had 10.5% unemployment. We had, not only banks, but ordinary companies like General Electric couldn't get loans. They were worried about going out of business. In fact, one thing that's not in the article, but it's sort of amusing, was I asked Warren Buffett his opinion of Bernanke, and he said if it wasn't for two or three people of whom Bernanke is foremost, you and I would be selling apples in the street. I think we were facing that sort of, full-scale depression. And today, although things aren't great, unemployment's down to, just a shade above 8%. The people going onto the jobless rolls are smaller every month. Things are certainly a lot better. And Bernanke, I think, has been the one anchor. He realized he's a student of the Great Depression, and he realized the big mistake that the Fed made then, which was to not supply enough liquidity, money to the economy, and he's worked overtime to make sure we don't repeat that. And that you can, and I do criticize lots of small decisions. In the main, I think he's got it right.
Listeners, let's see if we can fill up our board with calls about Ben Bernanke. We filled it up today with calls about youth sports. We filled it up with calls about hitchhiking. We certainly filled it up with calls about Trayvon Martin. Can we fill it up with calls about the Federal Reserve Board chairman? Or are there not 10 of you out there who've ever had a thought about Ben Bernanke? 212-433-WNYC for Roger Lowenstein, author of The End of Wall Street, who has the cover story that you will see on your newsstand in The Atlantic, Ben Bernanke hero. The critics say, though, on the issues, that he's setting the stage for future inflation because money is so cheap with his policies, and basically he's reinflating the bubble with all this cheap money when the crisis was brought on precisely by too much debt. So America needs less borrowing for years to come to build a genuinely solid new foundation, not ways to reinflate the bubble. Do you see any merit to that argument?
I see some merit, but let's look at what's on Ben Bernanke's agenda. One thing on his agenda is to not create a new problem down the road, such as inflation. Another thing on his agenda is to fix the problem that he had, that he was staring at in 2008, 9, and 10, of an economy already in depression with 15 million people out of work. So as between a real live problem causing incredible hardship to millions and millions of Americans, and a problem that might one day develop down the road, he had to say, look, we have an emergency. And when the time comes that the economy turns around, and then maybe, prices start going up, and maybe they start going up too much, at that time we'll correct if we have to correct. But what are we going to do? Never do anything because and never get people back to work and never get the economy going again because it might go too far in that direction. So, Ben Bernanke doesn't have a whole lot of tools. He's really got, one instrument. He can add more money or he can add less. He can't do six things at once. So he kind of had to deal, he thought, and I would agree with the problem at hand. We really had a terrible economy, and in many ways we still do. And so that's been his priority.
Nicholas in Rockland, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi there. I was just thinking, I thought it was a very interesting point that your guest said that, Republicans or right-wing people hate him because they feel he's too liberal, and liberals don't like him because they think he's too left-wing in a way. But I consider myself I'm a Democrat, and I consider myself a liberal, and I feel that sort of the people that he's been working with in past administrations as economic advisors under Bush the son, and his policies in bailing out banks and industries that might have failed if they weren't run. So
so you never bought the argument that in order to, as Roger put it, save us all from a future of selling apples on the street, that something like the TARP was necessary because of its implications for Main Street.
Yes. Well, if we were to avoid that future, we'd have to have a Fed chairman who didn't, like in 2008, like he said, not see any warning signs and predict a strong, you know, upswing in the market, right, you know, weeks before or within a week before it bottomed out, you know, at its worst point. I think he said that at some public speaking.
Yes. Event. So Nicholas, and thank you, makes a point that we haven't brought up yet, which is that Bernanke did contribute in some sense to the crash by being too sanguine, right?
Well, he certainly didn't see it coming. And there were some smart people who did see it coming. And not only didn't he see, you know, the housing crash coming, but he missed that, even knowing that the subprime sector of the housing market was weak, he missed how significant that would be for the entire housing market and for the economy. And that was a big miss.
And he was sanguine about the underregulated mortgage-backed securities, just like his predecessor and former boss Alan Greenspan.
I think he was either sanguine or he was not paying so much attention. You know, he told me that he's not. Greenspan was really a free market ideologue, and anything that the private market invented, perforce, Greenspan would have said and did say was okay. Bernanke told me in our interviews that's not him. He's not an Ayn Rand. You know, whatever the market does is good, and he's certainly been shown that by his interventions. He did miss it. You know, you made a leap though, Brian. You said, you know, was he part of the cause? Bernanke came in to office in the beginning of 2006. Let's say he was really up to speed by mid-year. The housing prices actually started to fall late that year, right. And by the next year, the securities market shut down, and the bubbles, you know, broke. So, you know, maybe he could have shut off the mortgage machine a few months earlier. You know, had he better foresight. But I think in general, you really have to fault his predecessor, Alan Greenspan, and the people regulating banks under Greenspan for allowing the bubble to inflate.
Susan in Morningside Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. Actually, Mr. Lowenstein took half of my comment out of my mouth. I felt exactly what he just said.
Go ahead.
That I feel like Ben Bernanke is the grown-up in the room, period. Between the Congress and a not very experienced man as president in terms of world affairs and economic affairs and so on, I feel like he's the one who's really got his hand on the rudder, and thank goodness. And I felt Greenspan was just a loose cannon, and the whole Ayn Rand neoliberal thing that is governing so much of our shadow democracy, it's terrifying to me. And so I am greatly relieved by Bernanke.
Susan, thank you very much. Now, one thing Bernanke has tried to do, following the mysterious oracle style of Alan Greenspan, is to make the Fed and his own actions more transparent. There's an interesting example of that online right now. As you probably know, Roger, he is streaming live video of himself giving a series of speeches about the Fed. And one of them was done yesterday. So here is a minute of that speech that Ben Bernanke streamed live. Ron Paul won't like this very much. Bernanke is railing against using the gold standard for valuing the dollar.
In a modern world, the commitment to the gold standard would mean that we are swearing that under no circumstances, no matter how bad unemployment gets, are we going to do anything about it using monetary policy. And if investors had 1% doubt that we would follow that promise, then they would have every incentive to bring their cash and take out gold, and in fact, it would be a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we've seen that problem with various kinds of fixed exchange rates that have come under attack during financial crises. So I understand the impulse, but I think if you look at actual history, you'll see that the gold standard didn't work that well, and it worked particularly poorly after World War I. Indeed, well, I won't go into it, there's a good bit of evidence that the gold standard was one of the main reasons that the Depression was so deep and long.
Ben Bernanke, a human being with opinions. So, Roger Lowenstein, what do you think of the content of that clip or the very fact that Bernanke is live streaming speeches about things like the gold standard and the Fed at all?
Well, let's take the second part of the question first. The fact that he's live streaming, he's given, he's doing appearances and army bases and other public venues. He's giving many more interviews, and I think he's very, very frustrated that the public doesn't understand the Fed, that the Fed has become a scapegoat. I was amazed to discover that his public approval rating is lower than that of members of Congress, which, the leaders of Congress, which that's really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
That would put him in like the single digits, wouldn't it?
And almost negative numbers. And I think some of it, sometimes the press refers to Fed loans, say, as a spending, and there's sort of a loose idea that whatever the Fed does is sort of a handout or a bailout. So I think he's working overtime in these sorts of appearances to try to tell people that the Fed's not just a big handout operation. In fact, all the various programs are profitable to the U.S. taxpayers, the TARP and other programs. The Fed's, all of its extraordinary loans are on balance. The loans are being paid back and mostly have been paid back at a profit to the Fed and to the taxpayers. So he's trying to, I think, separate the demagoguery from, at least what he sees as the facts, and that's why he's out there today and other days in public. The content, what he's saying is when you have gold, yeah, you don't have inflation, but you can't print more gold. And we had in 1873, in 1884, in 1893, in 1907, on and on, and into the Depression, very serious depressions because literally we didn't have enough money. There was no elasticity, as they say, no currency. And so the point he was making is that, for all the problems and potential pitfalls of paper money, the paper money that Rick Perry likes to rail against, it's the Fed's job actually to print money. That's why dollar bills say Federal Reserve notes, and the economy's better off for it. And if you look at history, I just can't see wanting to go back to carrying bricks of gold around in our wallets.
Listeners, interesting article, cover story of The Atlantic, written by Roger Lowenstein, about Ben Bernanke and why everybody hates him, even though Roger says he saved the economy. Roger Lowenstein is also the author of the book, The End of Wall Street. And by the way, Roger, for whoever those people are who actually watch live streaming video of speeches by the Federal Reserve Chairman talking about monetary policy, they might want to listen to Monday's show because we're going to have Brian Lamb as a guest, who's the founder of C-SPAN. And I imagine there's a lot of overlap between those audiences, the people who watch Congress live on television and those who watch live streaming Fed Chairman speech videos. But, yes, he's a great speaker, Brian Lamb, founder of C-SPAN, and we'll talk to him Monday. Roger Lowenstein, thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up next. A positive environmental sign, a sign of environmental progress right around here. Harbor seals are returning to New York. We'll talk about the Harbor Seal Census.